Steve, we are so close to the start of the season. We have got four more teams this week: Dogs, Sharks, Knights, and Dolphins. A few surprises this week, mate.
Yeah, there is, mate. I got to make sure one of those favourites missed the eight in my book, and we pick a couple of big boppers as the most overrated players. So there's a bit of controversy this week.
Absolutely, mate. You might be in the crosshairs of a couple of those guys. We also have one team on the rise. Check out the whole episode and let us know what you think. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Steve, here we are again. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Hawk. It's good to be here. We're only a few days away from the trials kicking off. Can't wait to see the footy fly and some of those big hits, mate. How you been?
Mate, going well. Like I said before we recorded, a little bit going on in the rest of my world, but we'll push on. It's so good that we're getting trial games. Like, this used to be one-day cricket in January and early Feb, but now there's this big void, and it's, mate, it's just shit. Just nothing. Oh, mate, I couldn't watch the tennis. Like, just,
No, the tennis isn't for me either, mate. No, to see a few of the teams go around this weekend should be good fun. So hopefully, it looks like a few of the teams have dropped, and there's a couple of the first graders in it. A few are obviously getting a rest, but it's exciting, mate, just to see any type of footy at this time of year.
Oh, yeah, and for your own team, you like to see some of the young blokes and how they go and see if there's been some progress made in those pathways.
Yep.
It is a good time of the year. Everyone thinks they're a chance at this time of year, but we're here to break a few hearts today.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're going to break a few hearts today. I know there's one good listener of the podcast, Port Macquarie Paul, who will not be happy about some of the feedback I have about the Bulldogs soon. But we'll see how we go.
He might like a bit more of what I've got to say, but we will push on. Let's actually start with the Dogs, mate. What do you like?
Look, certainly their strengths, their leadership, I've put down, mate. So, you know, what Gus has built there from the very top, Giraldo really switched on, Crichton as a captain. You know, the recipe's there for something long term, but I still have them a little bit of ways to go. But certainly their strength I see is their leadership. You know, it's very, very unusual to have front office, coach and captain are all at this elite level like Canterbury have. But I probably see their weakness is still around their spine. They've got a really young spine, especially if you think down the track. You know, obviously with Galvin there, Haywood at hooker, you know, this Mitch Woods had a little bit of a niggle. And Cade Dykes will be pushing everything he possibly can to get Connor Tracy out. So I think in the long run, that'll certainly be a strength for them. But I sort of think that inexperience spine will hold them, you know, at bay a little bit this year, mate. How do you see them lining up?
Very similar. I think defensively, they were so good last year. And clearly, Serrato's bought that system for the Panthers and it works. Their culture, I love how that they're getting that old mean Dogs of War sort of attitude about them. They are really clear on what they stand for, to the point where no one's safe. We've already seen Reid Marnie's been a casualty. We've seen talk about other players, some of those high-profile guys that actually started the rebuild, perhaps being moved on. It'll be really interesting to see how that unfolds. But I think the fact that they know now really clear path on what they stand for, how they're going, I think that's a massive one. Galvin, a full preseason, he was a bit clunky coming halfway, as you'd expect. Leo Thompson, oh, a massive fan. In a good system, I think he might just be what they needed in terms of getting that go forward, because let's be honest, there are times last year, there was a game, I think it was against the Tigers at Leichhardt, when what had been talked about all year, their big fellas, might be a problem, and it was like they were stuck in mud. They went 10 metres on one set, could not get out of their own end, and for that whole second half, they were kind of really stuck, and Leo Thompson might just be that catalyst for something a bit special. I reckon depth also, like we talked about it last week, how that they've started to become that club that other clubs start coming to pilfer. I'm with you on the weaknesses, as much potential as there is in the halves and the spine in general. I mean, let's be honest, Connor Tracy's not in the top echelon of fullbacks as consistent as he is. But I'm a massive, well, not a massive fan because he hasn't done much, but I'm excited to see what Cade Dykes does. Son of Adam Dykes, who had a really good career at the Sharks until his career died at Para, like a lot of careers did back in those days. But no, if you saw his first grade game, he was good, very good for a first up game. And some of his New South Wales Cup highlights, mate, he looks like he's got it all: speed, footwork, mate. Yeah, and as you said, Mitch Woods, Haywood's only going to get better.
Yeah.
It's just that uncertainty, and is Galvin going to be good enough to be a halfback? I think he is. I was there in his debut against Para. Mate, he tore us apart. This is like when he was 17 or 18. So I definitely think he's got it in him. It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think, you know, last year they had that whole Galvin coming in and the movement towards the middle part of the season that disabled them a little bit. I don't think that cost them. I don't think they had the side to win it. But
no.
It'll be interesting this year. Do they? How long do they persist with Burton? You know, Gould's traditionally been a lot slower bringing on halves. So does young Woods play a little bit off the bench? When does he come into the side? You know, we're going to see halfway through the year they're going to, you know, change the halves up. And to your point, I've got him a little bit further down on my most underrated player. Cade Dykes coming through the lower grades was something special out of Cronulla. Really got grilled with an injury last year and potentially even the year before by memory. So, you know, he's another one. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the year, we've changed two of the four spine. So it'd be really interesting to see what they do. But I think that if they can get that right long term, they're flying. But I just see that as a little bit of a weakness coming into this year, mate.
I do too. If we look at what happened at Penrith, where Serrato came from, and a lot of these guys have come into the Bulldog system from Penrith, they had class in the halves. Like, they had Edwards, Luai, Cleary. They had Appy at that point playing hooker, whereas the Dogs have had to rebuild. Like, they went hard for Mitch Moses a couple of years ago. They knew that was going to be where the real gaps were in the roster. So is there enough class there for them to take a step to another level after how well they did last year? I don't see it myself, but I do see them still having enough consistency to be in and around the top eight. I just think even the most diehard Dogs fans, as much as you support your players and you think they'll do well, I think even they'd admit there is some gaps there that absolutely need to be filled before they can be playing in that top four with a realistic chance of going all the way.
Yeah, agree. I think you talk about those four spine players, how young they are, the potential. I think while they may not be there now, to have those four all coming through together at the same time, if they all do reach their potential anywhere close, will be a scary proposition for oppositions, mate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like what you said there about Burton. It may be that injuries sort that out. Maybe if one of the centres goes down, then maybe they just move Burton out there. You know, people have talked about all sorts of different options for him. You know, does he play? I've heard people say lock, fullback. Or to me, I don't know if he's got the speed or the endurance to go fullback. But maybe, like, I don't know. This is just me on the outside looking in. But where else does he go? I mean, that's the thing.
I think the answer to that's probably Perth, mate, and that's not what you were wanting to hear. But yeah, look, I'd probably see him as he's an old school inside centre. We don't play the game like that anymore. So he's probably that, you know, running 5'8" and defensive centre. I can't see him being at Canterbury long term unless there's something doesn't quite happen with the development of a couple of these players, probably Wood or Galvin. But It'll be interesting to see, mate. I've got him down as the player under the most pressure this year. I think a lot of the media early will be on Wood around when is he going to get his start, niggle aside from the preseason, his injury. So I think the pressure around Burton, especially if they get a few losses, I think that media will mount. And to your point, whether they move Brodsch and Cherry to a wing and Crichton and Burton to the centres, we'll wait and see. But I certainly think there'll be a bit of pressure on Burton early if there's a bit of talk around contracts with whether it's Perth or another club. So I think he'll be under a little bit of pressure early.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Yeah. I got Galvin under pressure just because he just always seems to be a lot of talk around him. But I also have him as my underrated player as well. I just think there was so much placed upon him last year and how it was all dealt with and all those things. They're all personal things, which a lot of that was out of his control. Yeah. And, mate, he's 21 or 22, is he? Like, mate, I don't know if you can remember that age, but, mate, I was a disaster. Like, I mean, you just can't imagine how tough that must have been for him. And as a footballer, I just think he's class. I just think he's got so much upside. And I think that because of all that noise, people wanted to put shit on him, even a lot of the Dogs fans. Like, you see him talking online saying, oh, we should piss Galvin off and all this. Oh, come on. Like, seriously, you got to look long-term. Which
100%, mate. I'd really like to see him play outside an experienced halfback.
Yeah.
Experienced halfback is where his hen's teeth, right? And it's certainly not going to happen at Canterbury, whether he stays at seven with Burton or he moves to six and Mitch Wood gets a gig. He's not going to have that, so he's going to have to continue to develop and learn on the go. But they've just signed Sean Sullivan from...
O'Sullivan,
Yeah, Love Devs, part of the Dolphins system. It looks like he might head into some of that coaching for those halves when he hangs up the boots. So he'll be super helpful for all of those young halves. Haywood and Galvin will certainly take a lot from having him around. Super smart footballer, mate. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those young halves perform for them.
Will be. Biggest concern if they go down injured. Well, Crichton's the obvious because, as you said, leadership. I think comes back to, for me, it's Thompson. Like, I just think he is a damaging player that could create some serious momentum for them. Right? Whereas if he gets injured, do they have enough up front to build that momentum, particularly coming out of their own end?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, they rely heavily on their big outside backs, Carraz, Monsella, Matoya. They have really strong carries, but you're 100% right. Through that middle, you know, that's where Canterbury have been lacking in those big games. I've got Crichton, not so much for the centre spot. As we said, there's some ways to be able to cover him in the centre slot, but that leadership on the field, he seems to be at a different level to most other captains. So I got him down as the biggest injury concern for him, but he is pretty durable, mate. He doesn't miss too much footy.
No, he doesn't, but they did miss him at the back end of last year when he went down, even to the point where they were talking about, you know, even to the last minute when it was clear it was probably a few week injury that they were hoping to get him back.
Yeah.
Smokey, to me, the obvious one is Carraz. He was in and about rep selection last year, 18th man. Lomax goes, maybe he gets a Blues wing spot this year. Nothing else stood out for me.
Nah, I've got Preston, mate. Again, similar. He was on the extended squad in South Wales. He had a really good season. Typical Canterbury four, just workman, blue collar. I can see him being thereabouts again. To your point around Lomax, we're not sure what's going to happen with Crichton now. So potentially there's some slots there, and there's always that smoky back rower on the bench. So he'll be into it up to his eyeballs, mate, with Origin selection again.
Absolutely. And from memory, he might have been Preston was their top try scorer last year. I was going through the top try scorers, and he was top with 11, which probably says a lot about their attack.
Yeah.
So again, there's plenty of potential upside there. The coach, no pressure. Like, they're building something long term there, and it's just business as usual no matter where they finish this year. Dally M again, Galvin, I think he's got so much upside. If he plays well, if the team plays well, he's going to score heavily regularly. And for me, top try scorer, given that's a pretty open field now. I think if Karaz stays fit, then that's him for me.
Yeah, mate, look, I'm similar. I put Galvin down as Dally M. I think they're a pretty balanced team. There's no out-and-out, you know, X-factor gun. So I think they'll share points, and when they win, halfbacks usually get a little bit of attention. So I think he'll pick up some points by default. And then top try scorer, I've got exactly what you just said, Karazi fit. I think he's in for a crack year. I've just mentioned Cherry there, you know, pending what happens with the centre slot with Burton. If that change does happen, I could see Cherry causing a fair bit of carnage on the wing. So either one of them, I think, would do a job. Some super coach news, mate. You want to move on to super coach? So
yeah,
Bulldogs are a little bit of a funny team, mate, as they're pretty well balanced. They had a good year last year. Everyone's pretty well at a premium. Karaz, 746,000. If he's fully fit, he's going to be hard to knock by if you want to pick that one premium centre. About 25% ownership for him. Preston and Kickow are usually fan favourites. They're about mid-600s. And Burton in a very, very weak 5'8 position. It's an old dumpster fire. He's at 557. So I won't take those three, but they're three of those popular fan picks. But certainly, yeah, Karaz is an interesting one if he's fully fit and ready to go.
Yeah. Talk me through... So when you say 5'8 being a weak position, you're saying across the board because there's no value?
Yeah, correct, mate. Yeah, so 5'8 traditionally because there's only it's not like the second rowers or centres where there's numerous from each position. So it's just a weaker field. You've either got to pay up for a month start type or try and find some value in the position. So Burton's been one that can go on a bit of a run from time to time. So, you know, there will be a few people looking for something in the 5'8 position just to stand out a little bit. It won't be for me, but just wanted to mention it for the listeners, mate.
Yeah, that's good. For me, like mentally, if we do look at the Dogs, similar to what I've already said, they've got that mentality back. They've got their identity really clear. They're playing to that. Players know that if you're not in alignment with the culture, which seemed to be what happened to Marnie, if you're not up to the standard, which seems to be what happened with Sexton, then you'll be moved on. They've got this relentless defense that they play, which they just keep coming. And you could see it from that first year when they didn't have a great year, but you could just see that there was something different about them, that they just never went away. They never really got blown out of the park until they got a bit busted later in 2024, or sort of middle of 2024. And when you've got that, I know they're all fit, but when you've got that level of, well, it's discipline with how they play in terms of they just keep showing up in that it's almost like scrambling defense. Well, there's less mental fatigue because if you've ever done any sort of sport, when you get to that point where you start to hit complete fatigue, where you start making stupid decisions, and they seem to be a team that is really calm, composed, and even when they're not necessarily creating a heap, they still just keep going along. This is how we do it, roll on. So I just think they're going to be really hard to beat again, which is why I've got them finishing seventh. The only reason I've got them slipping down the table is I just think there's some teams there that finish below them that are going to improve, which Panthers are going to be on the up again for mine. Roosters I had above them, which just means that they've dropped down a couple of places. But other than that, business as usual for mine for the Dogs.
Yeah, I got to slip in a little bit more. So I will. I won't sit on the fence. I will say I got 7 to 12 within a win or two of each other. So it's going to be jam-packed, and games against each other are going to count. And as I said earlier, our good listener, Port Macquarie Paul, will not be happy. I got a miss in the 8. I got him running the 11th. But again, a game here or there between that 7 and 12, and we'll release our top 8 after we do all the previews. A game here or there could go either way, so hopefully we don't get too many comments on socials about my 11th.
I hope you get plenty. Well, I think when we talked about this, we haven't found room for either of our teams in the eight. So we're hoping what we've produced for our top eight is completely wrong.
Because
we're trying to be realistic about it, but it's just, mate, anyone who got anywhere near it last year, like, unbelievable. It's and tough. the same again.
Yeah, that's right. It's really tough, mate. The Bulldogs did have a little bit of an easier run last year. This year it's a little bit harder for them, but they won't be far away. To your point, they're not going to go out and get flogged by anybody. They're going to be thereabouts. And if you're a Bulldogs fan, it's all upside, right? What's coming, hang in there sort of thing. Gus has done it with the Roosters. He's done it with Penrith. He was only at the Warriors for a brief time, and he's already changed things there. So it'll happen for the Dogs, but, I got one more year missing out for him.
Lucky Paul knows your record and knows that there's a fair chance you've got it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul, make sure you write us an email and tell us your thought on Steve's summary too. I've got you covered, buddy. All right, let's get to the Sharks. Well, I asked my son for any input today. I told him the teams. And he goes, oh, God, they're all boring teams, aren't they? His the team he finds most boring is the Sharks, and I can't disagree. Like, and that's a compliment in a lot of ways because they are pretty consistent. I just looked back at their last – since Fitzy went there, they finished second, sixth, fourth, and fifth.
Yeah.
Mate, most teams would take that every day.
100%, and mate, fate would have it, my young bloke's a Shark supporter too, and absolute one-eyed about it, loves it. But yeah, and that's what their strength is their consistency. There's no question about it. While they would love to be going one more, and there's been a little bit of press lately. I think Nico got interviewed, and maybe Fenil Blake. They want to take one more step, but mate, I've got their consistency as their strength. Like, they just keep doing the thing. They keep on turning up for each other. The fans are the same. They're similar to the Manly fans. They don't like to travel too much, but old Caltex or Endeavour Field, as they used to call it, is just jam-packed when they run out. The other thing I've got with them is their metres. So they're back five. They're going to be missing Ronaldo this year, but their back five and Fenua Blake just tandem up the field and just dominate. So I can't see that stopping this year. They'll lose some stuff with Ronaldo. Sam Stone Street looks like he's going to win the wing spot. So that will hurt them slightly, but he's more than up to the task, mate. So I don't see that change in that style of footy they play, that quick play of the ball, big through the middle with their outside backs, and away they go.
Oh, Stone Street, before he got injured last year, he was enormous. I remember saying to my young fella, going, who is this bloke? He's made of granite. He's tough as. If he can stay fit, mate, big year for him, I think.
He's got it, mate.
Yeah, 100%. They've got largely settled team, especially in the spine. And people can say what they want about the spine, but there's definitely still a touch of class about it, particularly Brayley when Nico's on. Again, the two guys in the half, Tricky and Nico, like when they're on, it's just some of those big games. But I really like what I saw at the back end last year when they were really getting – they almost changed to, well, we're just going to play straight down the middle as quick as we can. And Fenua Blake was just like eating up the meters. Brayley was able to play over the ad line, and they were just killing teams. Maybe lacking a bit of class for that next step, but there's still plenty to like. The challenge was – well, the challenge I see it is there's so many of their players off contract, which has been well documented. So is this the last dance? Now, that can be a massive positive motivator, but maybe also that gets in their head a little bit and they're putting a lot of pressure on themselves and thinking, well, is this our last opportunity as a unit? So that will be interesting to see. And just on the back of what I said before, to me, the biggest concern if someone goes down injured is exactly those two guys. It's Fenua Blake and Brayley. Like, they are the guys that are have that touch of class that they need more of. Yeah. So, if they lose either of those two guys, I reckon that leaves a massive hole.
Yeah, yeah. It'll, you know, making it happen when it counts, getting that win at the business end of the season. It's going to come down to it again with the Sharks. They're going to make the eight, right? They're going to be thereabouts. It'll be how far they can go and who can turn it on. To your point, halfway through the year, they changed and started playing that Melbourne-style football where three fullbacks off off Brayley, away we go, bang. So, you know, everyone spoke about the way that Brayley changed the way he played. Well, reality is they all changed the way they played. They played this up-tempo advantage line. Let's get running. Right? Yeah. So that just took the pressure off Nico, took the pressure off Trindle. And even to a certain degree, you know, we've spoken about Kennedy a few times about he just hasn't quite got that little bit to put him in the top five or six fullbacks in the comp. But it just took the pressure off all about let's just go. And with their back five and Fenua Blake especially, they've got obviously a couple of other middle forwards, but it just got that roll on play across the advantage line, really fast up-tempo football. Obviously, Nikora, on that right edge. He's one of the best line runners in the NRL. He's phenomenal. So to have them that as well, I think would be big. But, yeah, Brayley's everything for me. You know, they traditionally run a 4-4 bench. Sifa Talakai plays that, you know, covers the backs if need be. But if they lose Brayley, I think it could be a tough slog for them. But, yeah, I still see big improvements for the Sharks with that change of playing style, mate.
Absolutely. I love Nikora. To me, he's like a gun center, but in a back rower's body. Like there was a play last year, an out ball, I can't remember who threw the pass, where he changed direction before he got the ball, and he's just hitting the hole at speed, big man. They just couldn't stop him.
Yeah, I love watching him play. He's just got that little bit of class about him. You know, you see those hard, good footballers, but then he's just got that little bit extra. So to see him this year, hopefully he's fully fit. He had a little bit of a niggle back end by memory of last season. It sort of slowed him down a little bit and then got back for the last few weeks. But if he can have a full season, that'll be a huge advantage for them because they go straight down the middle and they can use him on that right edge and he causes chaos, mate, for those halves defending against him.
Absolutely. All right, who have you got for under pressure, overrated, underrated, mate?
So I've got a bit of a mixed bag here. So under pressure, unfortunately, the poor bugger gets it all the time. It's Nico again, right? So
it's reality.
Yeah, no matter what they do, I know he's on the big money and all that sort of stuff, but unfortunately, no matter how well he plays, if he's not going to deliver 9 out of 10s, he's going to cop it again. I do think Kennedy... Again, we've spoken about him a number of times. If they are looking for a little bit of spark and a little bit of something, I think they need a little bit more out of him. There is a young fella, I believe his name's Bison, who's in the lower grades, who's sniffing around. But, yeah, I think those two, unfortunately, be groundhog day for them both. I wish they'd leave him alone, but that's just what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. As far as underrated, overrated, I got underrated. I've grouped them together as the back three, Iro, Raimi, and Katoa. I don't think any of them get the credit they deserve for not only their work out of their own end, but then they're always at the business end scoring tries. So I've got huge raps on all of them. I think Iro especially is an
100%.
Absolute gun.
Yeah.
But all three of them, and I don't think, and you put Ronaldo in there if he was playing, I think they're all hugely underrated. I've got massive reps on them. Look, if I had to pick an overrated player, I think it was a little bit harsh, but I think Trindle, the press Trindle's gotten, and I think it's been a little bit unfair because of what's happened with Nico. I don't think he's stood up either. You know, when I say stood up either, I don't think he has been the messiah that everyone said, let's get rid of Nico and play Trindle. I don't think that's what's happened. So it's probably a little bit unfair to call him overrated because they've got a pretty good balanced squad across the park. But if I had to pick one, we're gonna lob on with Trindle, mate. Just he had an opportunity last year when they gave him the keys a little bit and didn't quite step up either.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that Cleary is the, and Katoa are the, they're not the rule, they're more of the variations of the word I'm looking for. But most halves develop late. Like you look at Moses, there was always a lot of criticism of him being that consistent player. He's really only come into that consistent elite level since probably about 27, 28. So there still is hope for both of those guys. But the big games, they haven't. And I think you're right, probably Trindle. I struggle to find an overrated just because I don't think there's a lot of them that are that highly rated. But you make a good point. He probably hasn't done enough there. To me, the underrated, I mentioned before, Stone Street, I would have had him in that group that you talked about before just because of what is possible. But again, maybe that's me as a non-Sharks fan. I'm sure the Sharks fans who have been following him for a long time rate him very highly. And even those that saw him in those first 11 rounds before he got injured last year. The Smokey, did we do that yet? Oh, no, player under pressure. Yeah, it's just the halves, mate. It's just is what it is. Smokey for reps. Brayley, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about him moving into the Blues. I think in an area there's been a bit of, we need someone to step up. I think there's a possibility that Oregon Kaufusi for the Blues, if he can actually sort of take his game to another level. He's just hit 26. He's been a consistent performer since he's been a young fella. If you know, they talk about props sort of hitting their prime around 26 plus. So if he can go to that next level, then there's that prop spot is still wide open. Obviously we've got Haas locked in and there's a couple of other guys there that are in and around, but yeah, I think he'd be someone I'd be looking at closely.
Yeah, it's a good shout, mate. Look, I'd pick Brayley. It's a bit strange picking a Smokey who's been on a kangaroo tour. But I think you'll push Robson all the way come selection. I think Robson's probably done enough over the last. He's been one of our best for New South Wales over the last couple of seasons. But I think that change of role at the Roosters where he'll feed and tackle, which is probably what they want him to do for the Blues anyway. But, yeah, I've got Brayley down there. The rest of... either played or probably won't get a gig, mate.
Agreed. Okay. It's hard to see the coaching in any pressure. We talked about the consistency since he's got there. Like they went from ninth before he went to then having that run of being in the top six for 4 years straight. The only thing you can see is if they have a real slide. But again, we've just talked about with their list, we can't see that happening. No. Top try scorer, I just think if Stone Street stays fit, he had 8 tries from 11 games before he went down last year. I don't know if you see that any different. They're talking Mulatalo could be out for extended time. It's really, ACL's really hard to know. So there's a fair chance if Stone Street goes well, he's got that spot for the whole year.
Yeah, I'd pick Katoa, mate. It's a toss of a coin. The Sharks do pretty well playing both sides of the park, so I think could be either one, mate. I went Katoa just to your point. I think depending on if Ronaldo does get back to the back end of the season, if that slows Stone Street down. I certainly agree with you as a coach, mate. I think he'll want to be taking the next step, obviously. He's a career coach. He's going to coach. His old man was a coach. He's going to coach for as long as he possibly can. So there's no danger in getting punted, but he'll want to start taking the next step himself, getting to a grand final. Look, Dally M's, I've got Nico or Brayley. I could see them both. If they both went on a run, we know what Nico can do at his best if he's playing that footy. And I think there's been a lot of press and a lot of talk about Brayley, so there'll be a lot of eyes on him. So I think if he gets off to a flyer, Cronulla come out of the gates and get going through the middle, I think he's in for a ripper season, mate. So either of them could challenge towards the end of the Dally M count.
Supercoach.
So, look, there's an interesting one with Supercoach. So Cam McInnes is out for a few months, what they're talking about. So talking about round 7 to round 8. So one of the great names in rugby league, Jesse Calhoun, is going to get the 13. So they've just re-signed him. So they've got fairly good raps. They outbid the Perth Bears for Jesse Calhoun. So at 332,000 starting at 13, behind that pack, behind that back five, I'd expect some good things from him. So he'll definitely be starting in my side with the assumption he does get that 13 spot. And then there's a few that are at the higher end or at a premium. So Nico at 749, Iro at 705. You know, in the last talk we mentioned Carraz. I probably think you've got to go with a Carraz, Iro, Herbie Farnsworth, which we'll talk about later. If you've got one of them three, I'll be going with Carraz barring injury, but Iro at 705 is a call. Brayley at 654, if you think he's going to pick up. He finished the season on fire, so he's another one. And you've mentioned him, Sam Stonestreet will start at a reduced rate of 496. So if they like what you've been saying, Hawk, and they think he's going to score a few tries, he could be a good shout to start with, mate.
Bargain. It's good. Okay, mentally, like I said, that last dance could go either way. For mine, it will galvanise. They're consistent. Like I said, the last 4 years, we won't go over that anymore. It's just whether are they on a slide? Is the reason why they haven't re-signed a lot of those guys yet because they are thinking of a rebuild or at least a decent turnover, and that's going to put pressure on if those guys don't start to get re-signed as we go. It's almost like last chance as well. So it will be interesting to see how that all unfolds. I've got some improvement in some other teams coming up. To me, there's only one change to the eight, and that's the Sharks slipping out, only because I've just got other teams going better. And my team that'll replace them, we've got coming up shortly. But like you said, it's that still six through to the 13th logjam where we're guessing, really.
Yeah, you make a good point about the signings. I hadn't picked up on that. Most other clubs at the moment are shifting towards locking them up with Perth coming in, obviously, and PNG not far away. So for Cronulla not to, they must be really confident in the plans that they've got in the background and confident that they're going to keep who they want. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out through the season. Look, I got them hanging on. I got them just above that 8 to 12 that we spoke about. I got them in the 7th. But it'll be really interesting to see what they do towards the back end of the season when the sun comes out after Origin and the games are getting a little bit more serious, how the Sharks perform, mate. But I got them just slipping in. I got them in 7th spot.
Yep, and can't argue with that either. All right, this is the team that I've got on the big improve. I really liked what I saw from the Dolphins last year. And because they had so many injuries last year, they got now got so much depth. They got class and X factor all over the park. Katoa's only going to be better. If you get a full year out of Hammer and Herbie, we've seen what those guys can do. Cobbo's there if he's fit. Massively underrated pack. They've got Flegler back as well. Morgan Knowles from the UK, who... Christian Wolf's known for having that hard edge, and that was all the talk coming in. He said, like, they'll be tough and they'll be hard, and that's exactly what we've seen. So obviously this bloke fits that bill. The only weaknesses I see is that they have had that consistent injuries. They're going to be playing without Jeremy Marshall King for the first probably six rounds, which, like, they may well have a couple of young blokes there who can slip in and do a job. And I still just think Nikarima's not the answer at six for mine, and it's who does fill that spot. I think that's a fairly significant out, six and the nine, particularly to start the season. Or in saying that, they did overcome an 0-4 start last year to really build something. So, but I just think if they can stay fit, they are a genuine top four chance, and they'll definitely be on the rise.
Yeah, look, mate, echo it. So I've got down here their strengths, experience, youth. That may sound silly, but the likes of Katoa, Hammer, Cobbo, Plath, Lemu, these young fellas, but now they're starting to play some NRL. They're playing 50 games, 70 games, 100 games. So they're starting to feel like they're part of the NRL. That depth they've got through the centres and second row, you know, those quick middle forwards they've got with the likes of Plath, Gilbert's back, Flegger, Morgan Knowles, etc. So they've got some really, really exciting opportunities ahead of them, the Dolphins. I sort of see a little bit of a weakness with that big game experience. they've got a couple of guys who have played some Origin with Hemmer and Cobbo. Obviously, Herbie's played for England. But just semi-final footy's a little bit different, you know, again, towards the back end of the season when the whips are cracking. I just probably see they've probably got to lose a couple before they get or have a really good sting at this. But bloody hell, they're building a good side haul. Like, you can really see some of these outside backs and some of these middle forwards, the locks and edge forwards, they're really looking something special down the track, mate.
Absolutely. And you got guys just on the periphery that came in and did a job last year that just can't get a start. And so, yeah, mate, they could be anything. Time will tell. The injury concern, the obvious one's Katoa. He was third or fourth in the Dally M last year. I've got a weird one in Tom Gilbert. To me, he's one of those guys who really brings teams together. When he left the Cows, they left a massive hole. I also looked at that time. I've been thinking about this for a few years, where you see patterns. When he was out of teams, they would perform badly. When the Blues won a couple of series going back a couple of years, it was almost like Gilbert got injured, he didn't play, Queensland got beat. Now they've overcome that now because Gilbert's been out a fair bit recently, but he did miss a fair bit of footy last year. And if he can stay fit, I think he's just one of those players that like I said, brings teams together and really creates a hard edge. There was a guy at Para, Ben Smith, when he played it, we always defended well. I don't know if they're good communicators or whether they're just the sort of player that other people want to play with. It just seems to be those players, they're a bit unheralded. They're not necessarily massively high profile, but they seem to create something, and I see him as that guy.
Yeah, he'll be big for him this year. He'll more than likely start at 13, push up front, and then they'll bring on the Plass, Morgan Knowles of the sides through that middle and be a bit quicker through the gut. So, yeah, he'll be huge for him. Look, you hit the nail on the head earlier for me. Katoa's an absolute gun, and he's everything they got. With Nikarima being at six, I'm like you. I still don't think he's an NRL six. I think he's probably more of a 14, but the Dolphins have got more 14s than anyone else in the comp. So if they could find a way to try and find a solution at six that was a little bit more reliable, he can certainly turn it on and have his days. But if Katoa goes down, I wouldn't want to see Nikarima control the side, mate, and steer him around the paddock. I think that'd be harsh. There's a little bit of talk about Jake Avarillo potentially playing six, but again, he's not a six at NRL level. So I can't see either of them being their long fit, but they haven't really gone out and chased anyone either. This is the same problem we've had for two or three seasons now.
And O'Sullivan's moved on to the Dogs, so he did a fair bit of that backup role as well. So, yeah, I think there's plenty of pressure on there. That's where the pressure sits to me. We just mentioned it then, the halves, and then it's just staying fit. Underrated, I mentioned him before, Tom Gilbert. Overrated, the only thing I could think of is will Flegler have an impact? We've seen it before where players have missed a lot of footy and come back. It takes him a fair while to actually get back to consistency. Now, hopefully he proves me wrong because he's just been sitting there so frustrated trying to get this shoulder fixed. I just wonder if just how good he's going to be after missing that much footy.
Yeah, it's a good shout. We've been brave, mate. We've picked two front rowers to call overrated. But
I didn't say he was overrated. I was just concerned about just whether he'll have the impact. Just to be clear, Thomas.
Okay, well, I'll have a dip then. Why not? I've gone with Molo, mate. I've watched him for a few years very closely with the Dragons. I don't know whether he's going to give them what they need up front. I think he's just not that dominant ball carrier to really bend the defensive line, especially against those bigger packs. You know, we've already mentioned the Raiders and the Warriors, the Broncos. He's not going to do damage with the ball in that. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think the game's moving so much quicker. Fanil Blake mentioned it in an interview this week for the bigger fellas. I think he might be a liability in the middle in defence as well. So I've put him down. So good luck with the feedback there. underrated, mate. I've got them having really good smaller middles. So I have huge raps on Morgan Knowles. I thought he was England's best in a well-beaten side over the Three Ashes tests. I think he was a gun. He's probably gone to the wrong team as far as his role, because they've got Plath, they've got Gilbert. You know, he approached me as a 80-minute player, or at least, you know, a high 60, 70-minute player. But there's some gun footballers. Plath, really high on him. Finiaki on the edge. So they've got some absolute out-and-out guns, mate. So they can stay on the field, and away we go. You know, I've put Plath down as my smoky for an origin.
Is he injured, though?
He's going to start the season injured, so that might hurt him, but... he's just what Queensland Origin is, right? He's just effort. He's all heart. He's 100 miles an hour. So if he does get back into, you know, he can play a little bit of hooker. I can't see them carrying Hunt this year. So he could potentially be that 14 for them. But, yeah, injury aside, but I've got huge reps on him. I think he's really underrated, mate, along with the others I've mentioned.
Yep, love it. Smokies, now this is a complete contradiction of what I said before about the impact of Flegler, but if he can come back to the level he was, he's just a walk-up start back in Origin. And then Katoa. They talked about it last year when Moses went down. Do you then give him a chance? I just think it's time. Like if either of those two guys get injured, and they have in the last few years, they've been injured a fair bit, the two of them, particularly in the middle of the season. Like, to me, it's time. Get him in there.
Yeah. Look, he's class, right? And he'll do everything he can to improve this season. Look, at the end of the day, we've just mentioned the Sharks. It's either him or Nico, right, if one of the other two go down. So do they class Nico for having his time, or they give him another crack, or Katoa? I'm with you, mate. I think he's... certainly the future. I can't see it not happening. It'll just be a matter of when.
Yeah. To me, Loz took too many soft options going with guys that had been, like, obviously you go with the been there before, but, mate, you just got to, take a punt. To me, the coach is under no pressure. I'm not sure if you're seeing any there, but I really like what they're building there. He's probably the first. You know, they talked about the post-Bennett impact. I don't see any of that at all. In fact, if anything, they've got stronger. Dally M, like we mentioned before, Katoa was in the mix at the end last year, and top try scorer, Sarko, he keeps churning out the points. I think that's all pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I'm similar, mate. This guy's a gun coach. He's going to coach as long as he wants to coach. There's no two ways about it. So I'm with you, mate. He's no-nonsense coach. We're seeing a couple of these sort of style of guys come into the NRL now, and they all seem to be doing exceptionally well. So I got huge raps on him, mate. Katoa, if he doesn't win one this year, which, you know, the Dolphins may be a couple of wins away from him being in lights, he will definitely win at LEM. I think there's only injuries could stop that, mate. He's something special. Got a Sarko for overall point scorer, if we're keeping track at home. Don't be surprised if Cobbo does fairly well. There's some good reports up here. He's stripped a lot of weight. He's been training really hard. So on the back of that... side where he should line up next to Herbie and Katoa's edge. We'll see how it pans out. But if they're on that edge of the field, that could be something special to watch as well. So don't sleep on Cobbo with that. But I think Katoa, if he starts to play both sides of the field, they all could be in for a field day. They scored over 700 points last year. Yeah. I can't see it changing this year, right? I think if Katoa gets better, starts playing both sides, away we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Super coach.
Look, as I mentioned, scoring 720 points last year, they're all really at a premium for the start of the season. So I'll be leaving the Dolphins alone. A couple of their big games, Herbie's at 825. He's just about top dollar. Hammer's at 700. So a couple of ones there that I wouldn't want to risk paying up for, but I can't knock you if you want to. They've certainly earned the right. A couple to look out for post-injury. So when Plath comes back, he'll be a tick over 500. And Jerry Marshall King will be a tick over 600. So both guys that are certainly super coach relevant. Let them come back from injury, have a good eye on them, see how they pop up. And we've mentioned Morgan Knowles. So coming from the Super League, they've given him a price of 400,000. If he did jump up and grab that 13 spot and we got word that he was going to get big minutes, he would certainly be in my side. But the way we see it at the moment, probably got him coming off the bench. So he'd be a watch for mine, mate.
Yep. Tell me, just trying to understand it as you rate these players, do the best teams have one of those top price guys, or is it more you're looking for well-priced guys right across the park?
Yeah, they can all come from different teams and different positions, mate. There isn't too much rhyme or reason. Some of the best NRL players in the history of the game have never been super coach relevant. You know, Cooper Cronk's an example of that. Yep. And then there's other players that are super coach guns that will struggle to make the Manly side this year. So it's just genuinely the way they play, their style, the teams that they're in as well. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean you go out and pick, 16 Panthers or 16 Broncos players. You really pick the eyes out of it all, mate.
Yeah, it is pretty funny watching people on social media comment about how good or bad players are based on their super coach points, and then other people pulling him into line going, yeah, it's not all about super coach champ.
Yeah, that's right.
I love how you had that little not so dig at Manly. Did Anthony Seibold steal your girlfriend or something? Like, what's going on there, mate? You got a bit of hate for him.
There's no hate there, mate. Just honest opinion, that's all.
Very good. Mental side, they're just stacked with rep players. We talked about Christian Wolf. There was a real steal to the St. Helens teams. He won trophies there. Last year, they come back from starting 0-4, and their losses, I had a look, Bunnies, Knights, Tigers, who all finished below them on the ladder, games that they would have expected to win. They win those three, because that was, remember they had the Cyclone, and there was like, they had, that might have been the first game, which they only just got pipped. Yeah. And I'd put a line through them. Like, I'm like, oh, they're garbage. But despite that, like, they've obviously had some pretty decent wins to finish just outside the eight. So, again, you add those three and then you look at them being fully fit. That's why I've got them finishing sixth and potentially better. The only reason I didn't have them higher is just because there's just too much improvement in some of those sides above them.
Yeah, I see it similar, mate. I got them finishing eighth. I think they'll scrape into the eight. And I think this is their year to be able to knock some of that weakness we spoke off earlier. If they can play in, get to second or even third week of that semi-finals, just to get that experience, you know, of playing. You mentioned a lot of rep footy players, but just playing for the Dolphins, because the fans up here will go berserk. And it'll be a different feel to Brisbane. If the Dolphins can get that second or third week of semi-final footy under their belt, it'll just rip them through the experience a lot quicker for years to come, mate.
Yeah, imagine that, though, the Bronx and the Dolphins both in the eight and playing well. Oh, mate, it'll be the place to be.
I wouldn't want to try to line up to get a schooner of gold at the Caxton, mate. It'd be too many
people to jump. Oh, no, I won't get there. All right, let's get to the other end of the table. The poor old Knights. My old man grew up in Newcastle, so I have a bit of a soft spot for him, but I still can't see him finishing that high this year. They've got speed to burn in some positions, but then they've also got a couple of old blokes. They've got plenty of X factor. It's just they bought well. Brown, Sandham Smith, Trey Mooney, they've got a couple of other guys. Holbrook, you know, I heard a couple of Roosters players talk about it. He was just an absolute wizard with the attack. So you imagine they're going to have some points in them. But it's the same old problem. Like, since Mitch Pearce moved on, like, who's going to play halfback? Will Ponga stay fit? They seem to now be lacking a fair bit of depth in that forward pack. They lose Leo Thompson. It's been a year since Saifidi moved to the Dolphins. it's just, to me, there's just too many questions that I can't see an answer to at this point.
Yeah, I'm similar, mate. Look, their back fives, certainly their strength. You know, Ponga, Mazu, Best, Gagai, Young. That's a pretty impressive back five, fully fit, admittedly. They're a pretty impressive back five. But, you know, new set of halves, you know, they probably go towards the word coming out is that Brown is going to play six and Sander Smith's going to get the seven. Again, so new halves coming in. Phoenix Crossland is a bit more of a creative running nine rather than a distributing nine. So it'll be interesting to see how he gels with the brand new halves. And you point the skinny on the forwards. They've really tried to lob on some of these young fellas who have got huge potential, huge upside. We'll talk about a few of them later on, but you know, Trey Muni, Jermaine McEwen, Dylan Lucas, they really need those younger fellas to try to step up and at least hold their own.
Yeah.
So that back five can do the damage, but yeah, she's going to be a long season for them. And you know, it probably does go guesses, but Ponga for mine's the injury concern, right?
So of course, yeah,
he's everything for them. I know they've just spent a lot of money on Brown, but Ponga's the gun, right? He's their star. They've got very little to no hope making the semis for mine as it is, but without Ponga, they're going to rival the Titans and Manly pretty quickly for mine. It's all on him, mate.
Yeah, I'm with you. To me, I was just thinking about what you're saying about Brown. They have said they're going to start him at six. Everyone's going, oh, you know, you spend that much money on him over 10 years, he's got to play halfback. But it's like Munster's been playing 5'8", and it's like that might be an unfair comparison. But when Brown has a good halfback next to him, mate, his best at para was unbelievable. Like he to me, he's the best defensive 5'8", or half maybe even in the comp. And if they can find someone to play halfback who's going half decent, I think he'll go well. It's just, I mean, I don't know. If we look at who's under pressure, of course Brown's going to be under pressure with that price tag. Ponga, again, whether he can stay fit, there's been a lot on his shoulders. And then it's whoever plays halfback. Like, and like you talked about, forward pack, young blokes, if they can't go forward, I wouldn't want to be playing against them,
behind them. Yeah, no, you're right, mate. Yeah, I think Brown will have a lot of media on him, especially early. There's a big price tag, so that's the obvious choice. Tyson Frizzell is the out-and-out old man of the pack. He needs to be the father figure, so to speak. Obviously, yeah. Jacob Saifidi's been around, no question, but there'll be a bit of pressure on old Frizzell to just to get around those young fellas and bring them through. He's super professional, dude. You know, you saw what he did with St. George. He's played for his country. He's played for both of his countries, and played a lot of Origin footy. So there'll be a bit of pressure on him, not so much out in the field, but you know, Monday to Friday, making sure that he gets those young fellas into the Newcastle mould, because they've got an opportunity here with these young forwards to start to mould them, and it's going to be a slow burn. But at least put him in the same direction, mate. As I said, you know, I've got Smokey for the rep debut. It won't happen this year, but Trey Mooney's, he captained the under-20 New South Wales side. He was in that Raiders pack and just couldn't dike at the start for obvious reasons. But I'm expecting absolute fireworks from this young fella. He's an absolute gun. So while it won't happen this year, probably if you want me to lob on one this year, it'd probably be Dylan Lucas, but I think he might be a year short as well, but those two players have certainly got rep football in them in the future, mate.
Oh, I like that. Mine's going to sound a bit dumb next to that, but because he's already played a few games for the Blues, but I just wonder how well he has gone when he has been picked, Bradman Best, whether even if all of those centres are fully fit, whether he should be in there anyway. Because every time he's played, he's been damaging, he's defended well, he's created, and he's scored some really important tries. So, yeah, I just think he's a massive chance, regardless of if all those big names are in there. Underrated, overrated. Underrated, Sander Smith. I really liked when he was playing at the Roosters. He had a man of the match or very nearly near to it towards the end of the season last year. where Ricky Stewart wanted to have a crack at him with the Raiders. They were trying to get him down there. 6 and 7 with him and Brown, I actually think looks okay. We've talked about the challenges of a young forward pack. I just think I know with the Roosters it was like 4 into 2 can't go, but I'm surprised more teams weren't having a crack at him given how few halves there are around the place. Overrated, and I want to make this be really clear with this. I'm a massive fan of Gagai, and he's always hurt us in Origin. He's been such a good player, but I just wonder whether people are rating him compared to where he was instead of where he is, which he's lost a yard or two of speed. He's been a little bit fragile defensively. Again, that might be more not fragile, but maybe a bit suspect because of that speed. And I just wonder whether this is going to be a tough long year for the old fella, which would be a shame if that is the case, because he has been such a consistent and real hard man out there in the centres for a long time.
Yeah. Well, we've mentioned four teams with absolute gun centres today across the board. So when admittedly, and I think Gagai, you would hope it'd be putting up his hand and having a crack, I think Gagai would probably sit eighth on them. And for what he's done in his career, if you take the career as a whole, he's probably sitting at number one. But yeah, he is starting to get a little bit older, right? So he'll have to take that role similar to Frizzell, where take the side, try and bring some of these young fellas through and show them what it is to be a Knight. I got Saifidi, mate. Very, very similar. Another front rower, so I don't know what I'm doing to myself, but very similar to Molo, mate. I just think, he's played some Origin, he's played some good footy, but it just seems like there's a lot of front rowers now that have just overtaken him, passed him by. It'll just be whether he's quick enough now with the game speeding up as much as it is, whether he's going to be quick enough, especially in defence, to be able to lock him down, and then how much of a dent he's going to make with the ball in his hand. So I hope for the Knights' sake and the Knights fans, he can step up to his best. But, I think it's been a few years since we've seen Saifidi's best. So, I'm not sure whether we're going to get much out of him this year, mate.
Yep, and I agree. And I think that's the thing that most of the coaches are heading towards now is speed up front as well. Like, it's just become such a quick game. And if they get that have they confirmed whether they're going with the six-man bench or not? Whether they're going to have the option of who they can pick? I just think just creates a whole other dimension if they've got that flexibility to have, to have that option.
Yeah, I don't believe they have, mate. Look, I'm not saying I agree with it. I think it's probably a little bit too quick. And I think, the six agains are really tailing it to the faster player. Whether we like it or not, that's a little bit better for TV. So the Saifidis, the Molos of the worlds, they either need to lose a bit of weight and find an extra half step, or unfortunately they're going to be passed by some of these younger, fitter, quicker guys, mate, in the middle.
Yep. Next three seem a bit straightforward answers to me. Coaches aren't under no pressure. I mean, they know they're going to be a new coach like that. They're going to be there for the long-term rebuild. Dally M, if he's fit, KP, and top try scorer Dom Young. I don't know where else you go from that.
Yeah, no, I've got the same, mate. Look, Mazu on the left, if Ponga plays that traditional sweep, then he's in for a bag full, no matter how bad the Knights are playing. But yeah, mate, I'm the same. Ponga, Dally M, Dom Young, try scorer. And look, the coach, he's got 3 or 4 years in him as an absolute minimum. If anyone at the Knights doesn't realise that they're starting from scratch, buying someone worth for 10 years in the halves, all these young forwards, there's something there, but they're in for a long road, mate, so he'll be fine for the next few years.
He's a bit like Parra were for 10 years. It seems like they've been rebuilding for ages. All the Dogs did it as well for a long time. Like, it's a bit sad, really. Yeah. Supercoach.
So, mate, we've mentioned a couple earlier. So Trey Mooney at 440 and Jermaine McEwen at 407. They're both going to start in a really weak, let's be honest with each other, a really weak pack. So I'm expecting big minutes. McEwen could play 80 minutes. He's taking, can't quite think of his name at the moment. He's gone to the Tigers on that edge. So,
Clyde Pierce-Paul.
high piss Paul. Thank you, mate. He'll take 80 minutes off him, and Trey Mooney should play big minutes in the middle. So I'll be starting with those two by the looks of it. And then some of the out-and-out guns for the night. So Lucas, 744, Best, 650. Marzu, a tick over 600. So I think they're all, I won't be starting with them, but they're always come up throughout the year at some time. Ponga's at 600, which is a little bit cheaper, and he was in my team for a long time, but we've heard that Smith might get the goal kicking. So if Smith gets the goal kicking, that rules Ponga out for me with his injury history, but then it could make Smith relevant. So Smith's a hooker half dual position at 500 kicking goals. I probably won't find the money for him, but I can't knock anyone giving them that versatility goal kicking at 500 if they give him a crack, mate.
Yeah, well said. It's okay if you get the odd name wrong. We should let people know that we're recording these after a long day at work. Tonight it's even later. It's 7 o'clock for me and 6 for you. So if our brains are a little bit less than sharp at the moment, that's why. Exactly. The mental side for these guys, youth can have a massive upside because there's less of those scars of the long-term pain. It also comes with the trade-off of sometimes they haven't got that discipline, that consistency, that resilience that the old hard heads have. I mentioned before Holbrook. We talked about this in a previous episode. It might have been when we talked about the Titans. To me, it's what's happened since Holbrook left says that maybe he was going a bit better there in that setup than what people gave him credit, given the slide that they've had, even with Desi there. I also think that Holbrook will release the shackles a bit. I think O'Brien was under pressure so often, and he just looks so tense that the team played like that as well. And that if he is as good at the attack as the Roosters players have said, which I'm sure is true, then they're going to be exciting to watch. They might leak a heap of points, but I think they're going to play fast, and I think they could have some weeks where they spring some upsets because I think they'll be that sort of team. To me, that's just like with all my expertise in coaching NRL, just looking at the list and just looking at how much speed they've got in some of those blokes out wide and then some of the young guys they've got, like you said, up front and then sort of scattered across the team. There's certainly that potential to be that sort of team, which may well be hard to beat if everything clicks.
Yeah, I agree, mate. You look at that side. I think it's not a traditional rugby league philosophy in the NRL, but they've got to go out and approach the game. Well, if you're going to score 30, we're going to score 32.
Yeah.
So they're just going to have to be gunslingers and hope it comes off. There's obviously going to need to be a little bit more of a traditional defensive game where they can, but they're not going to go and slug it out set for set with the top dogs. It's just not going to happen. So while they're developing these players, if they can try and match them and try and just use that as their back five to score as many points as they can and hope they can get away with a few games to keep the fans happy while they develop.
Yep, well said. But reality check, I can't see him winning a heap of games, which is why I've got him at 16th. I think it could be a long year for him.
Yeah, mate, I'm at 15 and similar, mate. And don't be surprised if it's lower than 15. But yeah, it's a tough slog for the fans of Marathon.
Again. Yeah. All right, mates, we're going to have a big one next week because we will have both of our teams and we'll probably waffle on about them more than we would the other teams. And plus, we're going to cover five teams. So make sure you check that one out as we head towards the finals. Also, for those who have been watching the interviews, I've got some good NRL-themed interviews coming up. I've got a doctor from one of the high-profile clubs. I've got a guy that works in pathways at Broncos and a couple of high-profile ex-NRL players, which I think you guys are going to really enjoy. So keep an eye out for those coming up as we count down towards the season.
Excellent. Can't wait. Well, have a great week, mate. Enjoy the footy on Saturday.
You too, mate. Speak to you soon. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.